What a blessing. Thank you for sharing in worship with us this morning. Before we get into the message, what we like to do is give God glory for His Word. So if you have your Bible, if you just raise it with me, and just to give God thanks for His Word. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Can we get it on the screen, guys, please? Thank You. Father, we thank You for Your Word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank You that all Scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in Your righteousness. Amen. 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 So we are on part two of the message that we started last week. We're talking about Jesus the Christ. And this series, we talked about a few weeks ago, Jesus the crucified Christ and what that meant. Because as we've been saying, we sometimes can have a limited view of the role of Jesus, of His impact on our lives, based on what we believe about who He is. Some believe that Jesus, look at Him as just a crucified Christ, forgetting the power that we have in His resurrection, what it meant for Him to be the Jesus, the risen Christ. And then next time we'll get into Jesus, the glorified or ascended Christ, and what that means when Jesus went back home to be with His Father and sending the Holy Spirit and how that affects our lives. We don't want to have a limited view, but an all-around encompassing view of who Jesus is to us, because how we look at Him is how we're going to live our lives for Him. And I'm sorry to say there are so many people who believe in Jesus and have accepted Him as their Savior, as the crucified Christ, but so many are walking every day feeling defeated, feeling sad about life, with that ho-hum attitude. You know, and that's not what we were created. The Bible says we were meant to be overcomers. And yes, stuff happens, and life is difficult, but life does not control who we are and should not control our attitude about it. Our strength is in Him, and our joy is in Him. So today we're going to look at Jesus, the risen Christ. And our key verse is John 6:38, which says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do My own will, but the will of He who sent Me." So Jesus is here as the risen Christ to do the will of the Father. And last week, we talked about how in accepting Him as the risen Christ, we receive His peace. We have a deeper understanding of what it means to have New Testament salvation, to confess Jesus as Lord and believe that He was raised, and He prepared the way for the Holy Spirit. And the verse we looked at a lot was John 20:19-20, which says this, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled." This is where the disciples were huddled, hiding, because they were afraid for their lives, because their Savior, their Messiah, was just crucified and buried. "For fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' So He gave them peace. And when He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side. Then His disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. And as the Father sent Me, I send you.' And when He said these things, He breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" And what we talked about last week was how when He says He breathed on them, in the Greek text, what it literally means is breathing as you breathe directly into a flute. So what he did is he literally went up to each one of his disciples and breathed and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So he prepared them to receive the Holy Spirit when he fully came in Acts chapter 2. So this is where what Jesus did, and believing, accepting him, believing on him and standing on him as the risen Christ. And Christ means anointed one or Messiah. It's not a last name. So believing that, we stand in the peace that we have, that we don't need to fear. We stand on the fact that we are saved, and as Christ was raised from the dead, we are raised with Christ, in Christ, and that we have been prepared, given everything we need to receive the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God to come alive in us. So now, as we continue, and if you're interested, you can go on our website and listen to the first part of the message under sermons. I want to talk about the fourth point in standing on Jesus as the risen Christ, and that is the Great Commission. The Great Commission. What we just read in John 20, verse 21, says, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you. But then he said, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. He commissioned them. He's sending them. He's sending us. So if I'm going to stand in my faith that I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, he is alive and he is victorious, I am standing on the fact that I am being sent by God. More specifically, by Jesus to do the work of God. Just as the Father sent him, he is sending us. See, one of the things we know, Jesus never did anything outside his Father's will. And he said, all authority given to me was given to me from my Father. And then what did Jesus do? He passed it down to his disciples, to us. He said, I give you that authority. The commissioning, as the Father has sent me, I am now sending you to do the same. Matthew 28, 18 says this, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, he's sending them, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of time, of the age. Amen. Luke 24, 49 says this, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. He breathed the Holy Spirit into them in John. He's telling them, I'm sending the promise of my Father. That promise is the Holy Spirit. Send him in my name who will teach you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. So I'm sending him to fill you, to empower you, so then you can go do something. Then John 14, 26 says this, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance everything I have said. Bring to your remembrance everything I have said. See, if you look at the progression, Jesus rose from the dead. The disciples were hiding up to that point, because they were living in a state of fear and insecurity. Jesus, the risen Christ, revealed himself to them and gave them confidence, gave them boldness to say, Christ was raised, therefore I am raised in Christ. And then he didn't just give them the courage, but he breathed into them to receive the Holy Spirit. And what did he do for the next 40 days? He now did his final training sessions with them. He spent 40 days on earth with them before he ascended. And he spent that time eating, breaking bread, walking, moving, doing, teaching, encouraging, and building and preparing them. When I accept Jesus as my Savior, and I say, Holy Spirit, come. Lord Jesus, breathe. Holy Spirit, breathe your breath on me. I'm opening my heart to receive the Holy Spirit and to be filled up with everything that God has given me, that God wants to pour into me. And then I can go and do what needs to be done, because they didn't move till the Holy Spirit came. I actually had somebody say to me a long time ago, I just want to be an evangelist. I want to share Jesus with everybody. What do I need the Holy Spirit to fill me up for? Actually said that to me. The Holy Spirit is the power of God in us. It's the power of discerning of what I need to do. And there's something called power evangelism, where what that means is, as I am in God's will, moving in His Holy Spirit, and being so in tune with what God is doing, because His Holy Spirit's in me, I'm going to move as the Holy Spirit moves me, as God just moves me. If God, at that moment, wants to heal a broken leg, He'll move me, I'll lay hands, heal a broken leg. I'll heal a headache. If He gives me a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or a prophetic word to share, something to encourage and build the person in the things of God, I'm going to move. And you know what? That speaks into the life of people. Remember, we're in a generation that says, show me, not tell me. Prove it to me. Show me God is real. Show me the Holy Spirit is alive. Don't tell me the Holy Spirit is real. Don't tell me Jesus is alive. Don't tell me God is real, but live your life exactly the way I'm living mine. What's the point? Show me. Show me in your life, in what you do, how you live your life for God, that He is alive, that His Word is alive in you, that your attitude is different from mine, that you're changed, you're not what you used to be. Not that you're perfect, not that any of us are perfect, but that you are seeking God every day, and He is working on us every day. I'll be the first to tell you, He is working on me every single day. Every single day, I'm learning something new. And I've had to repent of something old and ask Him to change it every day. Why? Because I'm allowing Him to change me. I've let Him breathe into me. And I've made the declaration, Lord, I'm going to go where You send me and do what You lead me to do. And I'm willing to do it how You lead me to do it. So here I am. Just work in me. And let me bring glory to Your name. Let me glorify You. Help me not to make You look like a fool, God. Because without You in me, I will look like a fool. And I will make You look foolish because of my foolishness. Not because of You, but because of me. I become a poor testimony. Now, what did the disciples do? Just to jump ahead, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and the world changed forever. But He gave them the great commission to go and change the world. Some of you are going to look at me crazy right now when I say this, and I know I've said it to some of you before. When you were to ask me, what is my goal in ministry? I want to change the world. I simply want to change the world. I want my life to impact at least one or two other people's lives, who then will go and change a couple of, impact in a couple of other lives, and change the lives for Jesus, and let it spread and change the world. My heart is worship. my heart, my calling at its depth, at its root, is whether it's through music or whatever else, but primarily the tool God is using is music, is to bring people to encounter the presence of God. Because once you're in the presence of Jesus, you will never be the same again. Your life has to change. You cannot meet Jesus and not be changed. Every single person in the Bible who met Jesus, their life was changed one way or another. Those who accepted him were changed forever righteously. Those who denied him walked away bitter and walked away what if and wondering. Nobody truly encountered the presence of God and was not changed. And the most dramatic change is the Apostle Paul. He went from being a radical hater. And if we're going to put him in modern terms, for the sake of what I'm about to say, he would be a modern-day jihadist for the Jewish faith, slaughtering anyone opposed to the Jewish faith. And this Christianity was in opposition of the Jewish faith back in the day. But he encountered the presence of Christ, and he was never changed. And he became the greatest evangelist. You can't. The next point in the Great Commission, in receiving Jesus as the risen Christ, is something we already touched on. He sent his disciples. And I want to share with you one verse that's not on the screen. And I'm not going to spend too much time on this point because 3 weeks ago I set a whole sermon about discipleship and the element of being sent out as a disciple. But I just want to read you a couple of, one verse here. Matthew 10, verse 7 and 8 says this. And as you go, he says, preach. How do you preach? You preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you preach. And you heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. As you freely give, as you freely receive, freely give. And I just want to drill this point again. Making disciples, being sent out by God, isn't hit and run evangelism. Isn't telling somebody about Jesus and walking away. It's building relationships, but it's also, and this is why we need the Holy Spirit, because we cannot heal the sick, we cannot cleanse modern day lepers, we cannot heal people of various illnesses and ailments, we cannot encourage people prophetically and with the things of God, we cannot do the signs and wonders and miracles that we have been given authority to do in the power of the Holy Spirit without the Holy Spirit. So he sent them out not just to talk about Jesus, but to be like Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He preached the kingdom of God. He healed the sick, cleansed the lepers, raised people from the dead. Unfortunately, in the United States, we don't have too many people raising people from the dead. But if you follow some of the Christian magazines and some of the Christian internet sites, out in the African continent, it is a regular occurrence. People are being raised from the dead. People who've been embalmed are being raised from the dead in the name of Jesus. And this is not fiction. It's happening. It's documented. So this is what God in us can do as we are being sent out. There is a bondage in this area, and it's called good works. And what I mean by that is, the bondage is, if I do good things alone, everything will be okay. Jesus never did good things alone. What he did is he preached the kingdom, healed the sick, cleansed the leper, raised the dead, made disciples, and out of that, good works came about. Out of that, In the midst of that, he fed the poor. He took care of the needy. He said, bring the children to me. So out of those things, the bondage is, and a lot of our churches have it, you know, is if we just do good things alone, that's it. No. We got to feed them with the Word of God. We got to help them receive the power of the Holy Spirit in them. We got to encourage them to become disciples and to grow in Jesus Christ. This is important. The next point in this, he opened Scripture to us. In receiving Jesus as a risen Christ, he opened the Scriptures. What did he say? He breathed unto them and received the Holy Spirit. Luke 24, 44 through 47 says this. Then he said to them, these words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding. He opened their understanding. Do you see that? Do you get that? That they might comprehend the Scriptures. Then he said, thus it is written, thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, that repentance and remissions of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Him being raised from the dead, when that door swung open and he entered in and brought peace into their lives and breathed into them, all of a sudden, seeing the risen Christ made everything make sense. Everything makes sense. All of a sudden, the Psalms, all these things written about the Messiah in Psalms begin to click. Everything written in the book of Isaiah prophetically, hundreds of years earlier, all of a sudden they're making the connection. Oh my goodness, he is truly the Messiah. Everything in the Old Testament that was fulfilled was open to them in their minds. They were gaining understanding. The dots were being connected. Because up to this point, the dots weren't connected. Why? How do I know that? They were hiding. They were scared. They weren't sure. They were insecure. But if I stand on the risen Christ, with the risen Christ, I get it. I see it. The Old Testament Scripture, my eyes are open to it and see how it flows into the New Testament Word. And see how the Holy Spirit is throughout the Old Testament. How the Son of God, Jesus, there's a type and shadow of Him and Him throughout the Old Testament. Everything begins to make sense. God's Word becomes clearer to me. And I shared with you guys last week the recent experience I had where just kind of submitted everything to God. I mean, literally this morning in my study at home before coming here, I opened my Bible to read the Word and spend time with Him outside of preparing to the message. I got two lines and my mind was exploding. Doesn't always happen that way, but it's been happening a lot lately, and the Holy Spirit is just connecting dot after dot, and I'm seeing His work in my life. And this is available to all of us. It's exciting to see. It's exciting to see the hand of God working, and it makes sense. I may not know how it's working, but the work is making sense. And guess what it does for me? It encourages me. Even in my darkest hours, even in my frustrating moments, it encourages me. And this is what he did. See, I can imagine the next 40 days that Jesus spent with his disciples. He's saying to them, you know, or they're asking him questions. He said, you know, again, I'm just speculating right now because their eyes were open to the Word. So I can just see them sitting around the campfire cooking fish, and they're going, So Jesus, this is what David meant when he wrote this in Psalms. And this is what Isaiah meant in Isaiah 51 or Isaiah 52. This is what it all means. I could just, you know, imagine when as all of a sudden this flood of knowledge coming in, they're going, oh, so this is what you said a year and a half ago. This is what you really meant back then. So all this knowledge, everything is just starting to come together. Because what do we know about Jesus? In the beginning was the Word, John 1:1. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the words of God came to life. His Word came to life. So all this began to make sense. And the last point I want to make about this today is in standing with the risen Christ, He adopted us. He adopted us. John 20:17 says this, Jesus said to her, this is after he was raised, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. He's made the connection that, guess what? My Father sent me, but my Father and your Father are one and the same. We're adopted as co-heirs into the kingdom of God. That we are as adopted children, adopted out of sin, out of death, out of the world, the way of life we've been living, into the kingdom of God. Every single one of us is a royal prince or princess in the kingdom of God when we accept Christ as our Savior and receive Him. That's who we are. The devil wants us to think we're still, you know, the red-headed stepchild. The devil still wants us to think we're the black sheep, that we're no good, that we're not worthy to live in the kingdom of God. Who am I? Look at me, I'm ugly. Well, you know what who I am? I'm the one that God took out of garbage, out of a messed up life, bathed me under His shower of grace and mercy and righteousness, and put His cloak, His garment of righteousness and praise on me. That's who each one of us is. That's who I am. I wasn't born into the kingdom, but I was born for the kingdom. I am adopted into it. I was born to be adopted into the kingdom. Each one of us was born to be adopted into the kingdom of God. Ephesians 1:5 says, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. When He thought of me, when He thought of you in His heart before we were in our mom's womb, He predestined us for His kingdom as adopted sons and daughters. Romans 8:14 to 15 says this, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, in other words, to be tortured in this world, to struggle constantly with life, again, to fear, to be insecure, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom you cry out, Abba, Father. See, if I'm insecure, I can't go up to a bully and say, my daddy will beat up your daddy. But if I am secure in who I am in Jesus, in the Holy Spirit in me, I can look at anything in front of me and I say, my daddy is greater. He can beat up your daddy. My daddy will get me out of this. My daddy will take care of this. My dad in heaven has got it under control. Whether it's finances, whether it's addictions, whether it's emotional struggles, whether it's relationship issues, no matter what it is, I can stand tall because my dad is standing next to me, and there's nobody taller than my dad. Galatians 4, 5, and 7 says this, To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons, because you are sons, and God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts to cry out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave to that way of life. But if a son, then you are an heir of God through Christ. There's no way better to conclude that than to say you are an heir of God in Christ. This is who Jesus is. This is who I am when I stand with the risen Christ. I know my place. God raised him from the dead victoriously. Therefore, as co-heir with the risen Christ, I can live a life victoriously as one who overcomes everything. I stand with the crucified Christ that I am saved and I have eternal life. I stand with the risen Christ that I am not only saved and have eternal life, but I also and have victory over sin and death, but I can have victory in this world as I live in this world, as I stand with the risen Christ in these things. So my question this morning is, are we living like heirs to the kingdom of God? If Christ is in your heart, if you've received Christ as your Savior, and if you want to stand with the risen Christ, are we living like heirs? Are we confident? If we're not, that's okay. We can be right now. We can be today. It begins by accepting Jesus as our Savior. But we also can walk in that faith and in that knowledge that He's not just our Savior, but we are co-heirs with Him in the kingdom of God. So why is it important to stand with this risen Christ? What does it mean to me in my life? Ask yourself that question right now based on what we shared. How does this apply to me? What does it mean to me in my relationship with God and with others and things around me? And what does it mean for me in fulfilling my purpose in this world, in life, in ministry, to stand with the risen Christ? Stuff is going to happen. But no matter what happens, if I'm standing with the risen Christ, that stuff does not tell me who I am. I still am who God said I am. I am still who God made me. I am still who God predestined me and adopted me to be. My situation, my circumstance, even my mental, emotional state of being will not dictate who I am. Because when I get solid, grounded on Christ, we're standing with the risen Christ, I know who I am. And my way of thinking will start thinking that way. Because a prince or princess of heaven does not look at the world the way a pauper looks at the world. They look at the world with confidence. They look at this world knowing their place in this world. And I know who my dad is. And because I know who my dad is, I know my place in this world. And nothing's going to shake that. Would you bow your heads with me right now? I want to pray for you right now as a body, but then I'm going to give the Holy Spirit a chance to minister to you. Lord, right now, I ask that you come. Holy Spirit, come and bring revelation to each one here today, right now, Lord. Bring fullness, whatever revelation you started in their lives, that they will know who they are by you, how special they are, and what you can do in them as they stand with the risen Christ. Speak into their lives today, Lord God. Holy Spirit, right now, just come and minister. So I just want to ask you guys, be still for a few moments and just let the Holy Spirit minister to you.